Good, isn't he? All the time? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Joey, would you stand and bless the offering today? Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, if you all know traditionally, today is Palm Sunday. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. But we'll get into some other things before I'm done. But I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, come into your presence. I ask you, Father, to pour yourself through me. That it be only by your Spirit. For Lord, you are the teacher, you are the anointing, you are it all. And Father, I just submit myself to you today, and I ask you to have your way and be glorified in our midst. And Father, that even lives would be totally changed and transformed here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In John 12:12-15, this was 6 days before the Passover. And it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, which means, O save. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereupon, as it is written, Fear not, daughters of Sion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Other places in Scripture talk to you about that, and they say that Jesus sent his disciples over to a place where two ways met. And they said, there you'll find an ass and an ass's colt whereupon a man has never ridden. And they said, go and get him and bring him here. And you know, I know when I was a kid, I used to go up and spend some time up in Batavia. And back then, Batavia was pretty much country, and it's kind of grown up out that way now. But my Uncle Fred, he had some horses. And I used to ride those horses a little bit. I'm not much of a horseman. But I always loved watching them run around in the field, and I didn't like watering them and feeding them, which I did when I was up there with my cousin. But you got to do that too. But you know what? He had one horse, and Uncle Fred, he was a Roy Rogers fan. He had a golden Palomino named Trigger. You know, and if any of y'all are old enough to know it, Roy Rogers' horse's name was Trigger. And Trigger was kind of a cantankerous horse, and he wouldn't hardly do too much what you wanted him to do most of the time. But Uncle Fred was a little sterner than Trigger was, so Trigger usually did what Uncle Fred wanted him to do. But, you know, I've ridden on Trigger with Uncle Fred before, but never by myself, and I don't think I would have gotten on him by myself. Because Trigger had kind of a little mean streak in him. I've seen cats and stuff walk through the stall, and he'd look down and he'd try to stomp them, and he was kind of mean. He had a mean streak in him. But Uncle Fred could bring him in control. And you know, I think about this with Jesus. They sent him to a place where two ways met, and it was to get an ass's foal and to bring it whereupon a man had never sat. And I don't know if any of y'all ever watched any of the old cowboy movies or not, where the old prospectors would have the donkey or the ass, and they'd be trying to get them to go. And a lot of times, if you didn't coax it just right, it wouldn't go. And they'd pull and jerk and pull on it and try to hit it and get it to do everything to get it to move. But if that donkey made up its mind, it wasn't going to go. Guess what? It didn't go. And you know, I think that Jesus chose this because he said, bring it here. And when he brought it, they began to cast their garments of praise. And I'm calling it garments of praise because that's what we have to do. They begin to cast their garments upon the donkey and upon the ground in front of it. And they also begin to cast palm leaves in front of it. And Jesus clung right up on that thing and he rode it. And he rode it right into Jerusalem. And you know, in our lives, we're sort of like that donkey at times. We got wild areas. We got places that just don't want to submit, just don't want to do what we know we're supposed to do. And you know what? Nobody can ride that thing except Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can bring that thing into control in our lives. And I thank God that he can do that because, you know, try as hard as I might, I can't be a good person. You know what I mean? There's times when I'm like Paul, that which I would not do, it seems like I'm always doing, or that which I think I'm going to do, I end up doing something the other way or whatever. I'm just like that too. But I tell you what, when I come and I invite Jesus to sit and ride on those areas of my life, he starts bringing them into control through his mercy, through his forgiveness, through his love. And, you know, he said that that thing would be sitting right in a way where two ways met. And you know, that's the way we are. There's two ways, our way and his way. Our way is the way of death. His way is the way of life. And you know, when we begin to cast the garments of praise upon the wild areas of our life, even when we find ourselves struggling and in situations where we just don't understand what's going on, and maybe we've even fallen short of the things we feel like God wants us to do, if we'll just begin to praise God and say, God, I thank you that you paid the ransom price for me, that you, Lord Jesus, on Calvary gave your life for me, and when you did that, you cleansed me from this thing, and I ask you to forgive me, then you know what? When you cast those garments out in front, all of a sudden that wild area is not walking upon the earth. It's not walking upon your earth. Scripture says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. You're that earthen vessel. And I got news for you. That wild area in your life, it wants to walk all around your earth, all around this thing that you are. And I'm going to tell you, but when you begin to cast the garments of praise and begin to lay the palm leaves down, I'm going to talk to you in a minute about palm leaves, lay the palm leaves down in front of that area, then what happens is that thing's no longer walking on the earth. It can't walk in your earth anymore. And I want you to know that's the way that we begin to gain that surpassing victory, by acknowledging the sacrifice that Jesus made, inviting him to come and ride all those areas of our life, you know. And anyway, I'm going to read you out of Matthew 21:8-9, what it said there. And it says, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Oh, save, Son of David. That's what they were saying. Oh, save, Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And that word in there is a very strong word. It doesn't mean in, but it has a stronger relationship than that in the original. It actually means a fixed position in place, time, or state, a relationship of rest. So when they were saying, Hosanna in the highest, they were saying, oh God, bring me into a fixed position of time, a state of being, a relationship of rest. And you know, when you begin to enter into the rest of God, the things around you don't have much effect on you. I don't care what's happening, how much turmoil's going on around you, what's falling apart around you. I'm going to tell you, when you enter into his rest, it's a glorious place. And they were praying that. And I don't even know if they knew what they were praying, but their heart was crying out when they saw Jesus riding in on that wild donkey. And they began to throw down their garments in front of him. And they began to throw down the palm leaves in front of him. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about palm leaves. You know, if you lived in a desert, arid area, and I don't know about you all, but I've seen a lot of movies over the years where I would see where people would be lost in the desert. And the first thing you see them looking for was palm trees. Why? Because palm trees meant that there was life. That meant that they could live. That meant that there was water there. That meant that signified life. And you know, in Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, when Ezekiel began to give the vision of the temple that he had, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "And above the door, even unto the inner house and without, and by all the walls round about within and without by measure, and it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that the palm trees were between the cherubim. And a cherubim, and every cherubim had two faces, so that the face of a man was toward the palm tree, and on the other side was the face of a young lion. And then there was a palm tree in between it." And you know, God did a lot of things in the Old Testament, in the temple in the Old Testament, about types and shadows. And literally, why there was a face of a man on the cherubim, he was showing that he was going to bring life and salvation through a man. And there was going to be life. And then he was also showing the face of a lion. And Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. And Judah's signia, that when they marched in the wilderness, was that of a lion. And he was called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And Scripture says that the Lion of the Tribe of Judah shall break every band, everything that tries to bind you, and give to you the victory again and again and again. And it says it three times. And you know why? Because he wants to give you the victory in the realm of your flesh, in the realm of your soul, and in the realm of your spirit. And he's the only one that can give you that victory. And so even in type and shadow here, we have a description of the temple in the Old Testament. And it says, "And so the face of a man was toward a palm tree on one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side." It looks into life. It's looking into life. And it made it through all the house round about, and from the ground unto above the door were the cherubims and the palm trees made on the wall of the temple. So even back there, he was showing that Jesus was going to come forth and that he was going to be the salvation of the world. He was going to be the one that would bring life. He was going to break every band. Scripture says, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God?" You're the temple of God. So what does he want to do? He wants you to realize that these things are inside of you. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah is inside of you. When you invite Jesus to come into your heart, you're inviting the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. How many of y'all watch these natural shows, nature shows, and they show over in Africa? What is the lion? He's the what? King of what? King of all beasts. And you know what? All the beasts in you, he's king of them. He's king of them. He can devour them. He can bring them down. He can cause them to cease from being, because that's who he is. He is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And the name Judah means praise. So how do you enter into his presence? How do you invoke him to come into these areas? Through praising him. Through beginning to lift up your hands and begin to lift up your heart and begin to praise God And Scripture tells us he inhabits the praises of his saints. So when you begin to praise him, that lion of the tribe of Judah in you can begin to rise up and overcome any foe, overcome any enemy, overcome any weakness. Praise God. And he does this through the face of a man, through the face of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that we have the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus. You know, and we're being changed from glory to glory as we see him as he is. And I got news for you. That's his whole heart's desire, to reveal himself to you. But he not only wants to reveal himself to you, he wants to reveal himself in you. Romans the 8th chapter says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, my goodness, what a change. What a change happens. Your whole life begins to turn around and begins to change. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story here. And I think I'm going to read it to you because I want to make sure I get it all right here. But in this little story, a farmer had just gotten comfortable on his front porch when a newsboy delivered the evening paper. The boy noticed the sign, Puppies for Sale. And off his bike, he asked, How much do you want for the puppies, mister? $25 each, son. The boy's face dropped. Well, sir, could I at least see him? He didn't have the money. He's a newspaper boy. The farmer whistled, and in a moment, the mother dog came bounding around the corner of the house, followed by four of the cutest puppies you could ever want to see. And we can all relate to that. Them puppies, when you see them, boy, you just fall in love with them if you like dogs. A straggler came around the house, dragging one leg behind. What's the matter with that puppy, mister? The boy asked. Well, son, that puppy's crippled. We had the vet x-ray her, and there's no hip joint, and her leg will never be right. To the amazement of both men, the boy dropped the bike and reached for his collection bag and took out two quarters. Please, mister, the boy pleaded. I want to buy that puppy. I will pay you 50 cents every week until the $25 is paid. Honestly, I will, mister. The farmer replied, But son, you don't seem to understand. That puppy will never be able to run and jump. He's going to be a crippled dog forever. Why in the world would you want such a useless pup as that? I'll be glad to give her to you. She's not worth anything anyway. The boy paused a moment and reached down to pull up his pants leg, exposing a leg brace. I don't know of any person in this world who doesn't need a friend. You know, Jesus knows right where you are. He's been there. He was tempted in all points like as you are. There's no sin, there's no shortcoming in your life that he doesn't understand. He can pull up the pants leg and show you that he's been there too. He knew exactly what that puppy was, but he also knew that puppy needed someone to love it. And it was of great value. And you're of great value. And God knows exactly what he wants to do you. You know, Jesus, it says the greatest friend in the world is a friend above all others, a friend who will willingly lay down his life for you and me. And he set the pattern for human friends and friendship. His name is Jesus Christ, known as the friend of sinners. You know, there's a scripture, and it's in Proverbs. and it's Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And you know, to have friends, you have to be a friend. And then it goes on and it says, a man that hath a friend must show himself to be friendly. And then it pauses and then it says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus Christ. You know, there's times when your brothers or your sisters or your family will let you down. I'm going to tell you, I don't always agree with everything I've heard concerning friends. And please don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to tell you, when you have a real friend, they will love you and be there for you even at your worst times. Even when you don't deserve their friendship, they will still be there for you. And Jesus is that kind of a friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I know that when we're going to have a baptism here in a few minutes, and I know that when you realize that what takes place in baptism, you know, some people might say, well, you know, is baptism really necessary? Is it really necessary to go down into the water and to come up? You know, some people don't like to do that because, you know, some people don't want to do it because, let's face it, they don't want to get wet. They don't want their hair looking bad or whatever. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that's part of what it is. But I'm going to tell you what. When Jesus started into his ministry, he went to John the Baptist and he said, John was baptizing people for the repentance of sin. And when he went there, John told him, I have need to be baptized of you. And he said, no, suffer it to be so. For all righteousness must be fulfilled. And you know what? John baptized Jesus. And when he did, he said he saw the Spirit descending like a dove and resting upon him. And you know what? I believe that when you're baptized, what happens in the natural, when someone is born again or born, a baby is born, what is the first sign that that baby is really going to come? That the water breaks. And there's a gush of water. The water has to come first. And let me tell you what, when you make up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord, that's why baptism is so necessary. Because when you go down into that water and you come back up, you're coming up as a new creation man. You're coming up as someone who has been united into the family of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't be saved without being baptized. But I'm saying if Jesus thought it was necessary, then it's probably necessary. You know? And and I got news for you. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creation man. You've made a public statement of that I want to be born into the kingdom of God. And you know, when you're born into the kingdom of God, he places you as a son or a daughter. You have all the rights of a son or a daughter. But I'm going to tell you, don't stop there. You know, I have a son and I have a daughter here today. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, when they grew up, and they begin to grow up, I'll always be their father. But my desire is that they become my friend. Because when they become my friend, I will tell them things that I would not tell them when they were my children. You will tell your friend something that you will not tell your brother or your sister. And I believe the friend, you know, Abraham, because he believed God, was called a what of God? A friend of God. I want God to call me his friend. When I was born again, I moved into being part of the family of God. And I began to take on the attributes of God. Just like, you know, the highest compliment that somebody can pay a parent is when somebody comes up and looks at your little daughter or your little son and say, oh, you look just like your mom. You're the spitting image of her. And you know what? When it happens, when you're born again, the greatest thing anybody could ever say to you is you look just like your older brother, Jesus, just like your father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You look just like him. And you know, that's why Scripture says that when we see him as he is, we shall be like him. And you know, it's a process. This is a beginning step here of you coming into that birthing process. But I'm going to tell you what, later on it goes on into something much, much deeper. It goes into a place. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm no longer going to call you servants, but I'm going to call you friends. He says the servant doesn't know what the master does, but the friend does. And you know what? I want to be called a friend of God. I want to be called a friend so that I know what he does, so that he can tell me intimate secrets. And not only that, that he can reveal the ultimate things. You know, I used to watch Margaret. She had a really good friend, Barb. And boy, I'm telling you what, that was two of the best friends I ever saw. Because they disagreed politically, they disagreed on a whole bunch of stuff, and they disagreed all the time on a lot of stuff. But you know what? They were always there for each other. They always loved each other. They would always, any time that one of them was sick or something, or they could do anything for anybody, they always did it, you know. And I'm going to tell you, in the natural, you have very few friends in life like that. Most people, what they would call to be your friend, you got to do exactly everything that they want you to do, or you ain't my friend, you know. Well, I got news for you. Friends like that, you don't need them. They're acquaintances. A friend is someone that you can tell your innermost feelings, even if they totally disagree with them, and they'll love you in spite of it. And they'll be there for you in spite of it. And I got news for you. Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's that one that he said, I will never leave you. And I believe if you really go into the Greek in that, you'll find that it's I will never, no, never, no, never leave you. It's that strong, or forsake you. And you know what? He will never leave you. You might have times when you'll pull away from him a little bit, but he's standing right there, just wanting to receive you back into his arms of friendship and love and relationship. But it's all about developing relationship with him. And I want you to know that he is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I don't know if anybody has to get ready or if they're already ready for the baptism that we're going to do.
They should be ready.
Okay. If everybody wants to come on up, that's going to get baptized. We were going to have a couple more, and something happened that they didn't come, so that's all right. Now, I will say this. There's two ways that people like to be baptized. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, it says, Jesus told them, go ye into all the world and baptize men in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'm okay with doing it either way. But in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost, when Peter and them had received the Holy Spirit, he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall,
yes.
You shall, and that's a promise there, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you and unto as many as the Lord our God will call. That's a promise. And I'm asking you basically how you want to be baptized today in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those are titles. Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name. And I'm going to tell you, I honestly believe that it's better if you go in the name of Jesus, because it's a promise. So It's up to you all, however you want to do it. Is that what you want to do? Yes. Goldie.
And he did it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in Jesus. So, I mean,
he covered it all.
I went to another church that believed in and I became a part of their church.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I was baptized in all of them.
You was all right. You was all right, wasn't you? Well, you know, when I got baptized, he asked me, and I got saved at home. And I had been reading the scriptures. And he said, he asked me, he says, "Brother Oscar, how do you want to be baptized?" And I said, "Well, Brother Eddie," I said, "I've read both portions of scripture because I'd already got there." And I said, "I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus." I said, "Because there's a promise given there that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
And you know what? I want to receive everything God's got for me.
Amen.
So that's what we'll do, if that's all right with you all.